Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, we're in Friday, October 18th, week 9 of high school football, final week of regular season football tonight. Our coverage begins at 6 o'clock on the Big X Sports Radio. Join me tonight, we have the Kentuckiana High School kickoff show, which is not only on the Big X, but also 93.9 The Ville in Louisville for our Louisville audience. And we'll be previewing the big games on both sides of the river in high school football tonight. And, of course, after this, in Indiana at least, time for postseason football sectionals a week from this Friday. Open up for a lot of our local teams, not all, some of the four-teamers, the 5A sectionals, they do not begin again until November 1st. But postseason football almost here. We've got some local teams that have seemed to have come alive here over the last few weeks, and we'll see if they can finish out the season with some late victories and some momentum heading into the postseason. And we'll see if we can get anybody local to a regional or maybe even beyond. Maybe somebody can put a run together. But we'll have all of the coverage for you tonight from the last week of regular season football. Our feature games tonight, Jeffersonville, they take on Bedford North Lawrence. That is one of our feature games tonight. Also, we will have access to Silver Creek. They take on Cordon tonight. We'll have call-in reports, some other games as well. Lee Kelly's going to be at the New Albany contest against Jennings County. And I'll be in studio anchoring the coverage. We'll have scoreboard updates, call-in reports. And when it's all done tonight, we'll have our Extremenasium scoreboard show. We'll talk with media and victorious coaches across the area. And tonight the fun thing is not only do we get to give you all the happenings on the scoreboard show and all the highlights and the scores and interviews, but we get to kind of look ahead as well tonight and set up next week's sectional matchup. So you don't want to miss us tonight. Full coverage, 5+ hours of local football coverage here on Southern Indiana Sports Leader, the Big X Sports Radio. Let's take a look at the guest lineup for the Hoosier Report today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines. New winner of the gold jersey in practice in Bloomington. This just was tweeted out by IU Men's Basketball minutes before we came on the air. We'll tell you about that. A big prospect in the 2020 class that IU has had on campus this fall is set to make his decision later this afternoon. Hassan Diarra. We'll tell you where we think Diarra is going to go, at least a lot of reports out there where they think he will go. Will it be Indiana? Will it be Texas A&M? Will it be Georgia? More on that here in just a few moments. Also, some good news put out yesterday, pretty consistently. This happens each year from IU Athletics as far as where the graduation success rate is, which is commonly known as the GSR in NCAA basketball and NCAA sports, where it is for IU Athletics. We'll talk about that. Not good news necessarily for Jawan Morgan. He's been waived by the Jazz. We'll tell you what's next for him, and we'll go through some of the Week 9 matchups tonight as well as a couple other headlines as well. That's what we'll do in Segment 1. Later in the program, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, he joins us to talk IU basketball, days away from a secret closed scrimmage for this team, who will take on Marquette at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. We'll talk some about that. We'll talk about the team. Justin Smith is another player that we haven't had a lot of off-season conversation about, but probably should be having some about. We'll talk with Justin Smith about Justin Smith with Jared when he joins us a little bit later, in addition to some other IU basketball things as well. Later in the program, Jeff football coach Isaac Parker joins us. Coach Parker, a longtime assistant at Jeff in his first year as head coach. He joins us to talk about the Red Devil football team as they head into their final regular season game tonight. Been a tough season, been a season of ups and downs
as he tries to build that program. But they've had some momentum here late in the year. They've won two games in a row. They'll look to win a third game tonight against a Bedford team that only has two victories coming in to Blair Stadium tonight, Blair Field tonight. And we'll see, of course, after tonight, New Albany and Jeff will face each other, are squared to meet in the sectional after a bye week and head to those 5A semifinals. We'll talk with Coach Parker a bit about that also. So that's the lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at the Zaxby's headlines for this Friday, October 18th, Zaxby's with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville to serve you. Lots to get to today. The gold jersey has been awarded to another somewhat newcomer for this upcoming college basketball season. The gold jersey obviously is handed out. I think it's weekly in practice. Plus-minus system we've been told over the years, but who knows the exact details. But it is something that is coveted by the players. They get to wear a little different-looking gold-colored practice jersey, which obviously signals a lot of hard work and hopefully success as well. And Joey Brunk has won the award for this week. Last week it was Jerome Hunter. I somewhat consider him a newcomer because he never really got to play last year before an injury that sidelined him basically the entire year and really well into the offseason as well. Now another newcomer, although not a newcomer to college basketball, graduate transfer Joey Brunk begins his first of two seasons in Bloomington. We have been able to tell right away since when he committed to Indiana, when it was clear that he was leaving Butler, that he's going to be a vocal leader, a very well-spoken young man, a guy that's a little bit older, a little bit more experienced. He's been through the rigors of college basketball, so he brings that experience to Bloomington and to this IU team, which needs that. But it's clear also that he's going to be someone that sees ample minutes and that has already found a role on this Indiana team, and he's having some success on the court as well. He's the winner of the gold jersey this week. So a little tidbit that probably gets you even more excited about the start of the season and seeing some of these guys actually out on the floor for a full game. Of course, the first opportunity for that comes a little later this month when Indiana takes on Gannon University in its one and only open exhibition game for this season. Recruiting note today, big recruiting decision, Hassan Diarra, a player that has visited Indiana this fall. He also has taken official visits this fall to Texas A&M and Georgia. He's considered a top 75 player in the senior class, and the projections, I think, out there, if you read a lot of the national recruiting analysts, most of them project, I think all of them project, that he will pick Texas A&M later today. He will be a huge pickup for whoever he picks later today. Top 75 player committing this far into the fall, obviously a big get. He would be a huge land for Indiana. And again, seemed to enjoy his time on campus. When they make an official visit to Bloomington and they understand what basketball means in our state and what basketball means for the IU program and the history and the tradition and how crazy the fans are, you know that Indiana is a player, is a real opportunity in that recruitment. But it does not look like it on paper, at least, as we head into his decision, Hassan Diarra's decision, later this afternoon. So you can check social media. I think he's 1:45, maybe that's 2:45 our time, going to announce his decision. A lot of people think Texas A&M, Indiana probably second, and Georgia with Coach Crean there now probably third in that recruitment if it plays out as people think. Good news for IU athletics and IU basketball from a academic standpoint. Wednesday's NCAA announcement of the graduation success rates for NCAA schools is the eighth consecutive year that IU athletics has either established a new record or matched a previous one. IU's GSR score 91% this year after having a 77% back in 2011. So some major, major improvements on that side of things for IU athletics, and I think that's something that all IU fans can share and be proud of. Not good news for Juwan Morgan. I know everybody, in addition to following Romeo Langford, you want to keep a watchful eye on Juwan Morgan and the Jazz, and what type of minutes is he getting in the preseason, what type of opportunities has he gotten in the preseason. He played in two of the preseason games. I think he averaged 7 or 8 points a game, in the times that he did play, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and he got about 11 or 12 minutes in two contests, so about 24 minutes or so of playing time in two of their preseason games this season. He's been waived by the Jazz, which means likely his next stop will be the Utah Jazz's G League affiliate, which is also located in Salt Lake. Kind of different to see the NBA team and obviously the G League minor league type team in the same city, but he'll looks like stay in Salt Lake and play for the Salt Lake City Stars in the G League. I think that would be likely the next stop for Juwan Morgan. We'll see if he can eventually earn maybe a two-way back-and-forth deal with Utah and get back to the NBA, get a little bit more experience, a little bit better opportunity. But as of right now, probably not the best news for him as the NBA preseason, coming to a close. He'll go back to the Jazz's G League affiliate. One other Big Ten note, we've talked a lot this week about the Big Ten teams for this season, some recruiting successes for other teams. Minnesota picked up Jamal Mashburn Jr. Michigan State lost one of its key recruits who decommitted from the program earlier this week. Juwan Howard, the new coach at Michigan, obviously member of the Fab Five, NBA player, NBA coach as well. He's kind of made his first real splash on the recruiting trail. He landed yesterday a 5-star player in the 2020 class named Isaiah Todd, and so this is really his first big recruiting victory of his coaching stand at Michigan. And I think what is probably most impressive about landing Isaiah Todd, a 5-star in the 2020 class, is that Howard got to Michigan so late, he hasn't had relationships with these players for a year or more like some of the other schools recruiting him. He had to come in somewhat cold in the summer, develop a list, see what he needed with his current team, and then get to work recruiting. And he had a lot of players in over the fall. This is the first big splash. Isaiah Todd, a notable prospect in 2020, commits to Juwan Howard and Michigan basketball yesterday. High school football tonight. I told you all about our coverage on the Big X. We're going to focus on Bedford at Jeffersonville, and also Silver Creek. They host Cordon tonight. Bedford comes in 2 wins on the season. They are 2-6. But if you look last week, Bedford lost 29-21 to Floyd Central. So the Stars were competitive with perhaps the best team in our immediate area in Floyd Central a week ago. Bedford has been a really good football program year after year. They're not showing it in the number of wins this year, but they have been awful close in a lot of the games that they have played this season. That said, Jeff's filling it a little bit as well. They've got some momentum heading into this last regular season game. I don't want to say turn the season around, but a win tonight can sure end things with a much better taste than how things started over the first 3 or 4 weeks for this Jeffersonville team. They defeated New Albany in the middle part of the season. They've won their last 2 games. Tonight would be 3 straight and get the team to 4 victories on the year heading into the postseason. They've got a rematch forthcoming with New Albany, which is a very winnable game for the Red Devils a few weeks down the road. So this is a big one tonight for Coach Parker and his Jeffersonville team. We're going to talk with Coach Parker a little bit later in this program about the game tonight and about the upcoming sectional as well. But Jeff with a big challenge. I could see this being a really good competitive football game all the way through tonight. And again, it's going to be one of our feature games tonight in the area. Also, Cordon at Silver Creek, our other feature game. Silver Creek is playing really well. 1 loss on the year. The Dragons lost to a very good Brownstown team over the weekend, or last weekend, I should say. That's their only mishap, despite some injuries, despite some things that haven't went their way on the field with injuries and healthy players. Silver Creek still getting it done, and 1 loss on the season. Silver Creek should have no problems finishing their year with just 1 loss after a victory. Should be a big victory tonight for Silver Creek. The problem is they've got East Central in the sectional. Very, very good in 4A football. So they need to do everything they can to be healthy and build some momentum heading into that game next week. Other games tonight, Charlestown, you talk about a team on a roll. They are 6-2. this season. They have won, I think, four or five straight games after a tough start to the season where they dropped two contests. This should be an easy win against No Win Eastern tonight. They are 0-8 on the season so far. Also, games tonight, Floyd Central at Seymour. This could be a pretty good game. Floyd Central 6-2, Seymour 4-4. The Highlanders have really been setting themselves up as the favorite in the local 5A sectional. They will take on Bedford North Lawrence, a rematch of last week's regular season game. And, of course, New Albany, who hosts Jennings County tonight, they take on the Red Devils in the opening round of sectional play. New Albany, a lot like Jeffersonville, they're young, they're athletic, and they, too, have found some success over the last few weeks and been able to win a couple games in a row. Another victory tonight would be three straight for the Dogs and send them with about as much momentum as they could possibly have heading into postseason football coming up. Lee Kelly is going to be at that game. He'll provide some updates from that contest throughout the night. Also, Clarksville tonight, can they get another win? They are 2-6. They have won two games this year after losing 46 straight contests in a number of seasons leading into 2019. The narrative at Clarksville has been a little different this year, much more competitive. I think they have their eyes on the sectional. Can they knock off rival Providence in the opening round of sectional play? But tonight they'll take on a North Harrison team who's had a lot of ups and downs this season as well. Providence on the road at a very good Linton-Stockton team tonight. Providence 3-5, Linton-Stockton 7-1. So a big challenge to end the season, the regular season at least, for this Providence team. And again, they take on Clarksville next Friday in the opening round of their sectional, a rival game, a rematch of the town championship. So Providence could use some success tonight to head into that contest next week as well. Those are the headlines presented by Zaxby's. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, IU basketball discussion on tap, followed by Jeffersonville coach Isaac Parker, who joins the show later in the hour to talk Red Devil football. Tonight's game against Bedford North Lawrence. Special activity going on at tonight's game at Jeff that's going to be pretty cool, and you'll like to hear about it. Coach Parker will talk about that and a lot more coming up later in the program. Stay with us. It's a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call always with us as we talk IU basketball today. And Jared, football season in full swing, basketball season just around the corner. How much would you pay for a ticket to the secret scrimmage this weekend if you could somehow find a way to slide in and find out a lot more details? I know a lot of the questions we ask would be answered, or somewhat answered. We'd get at least an earlier opportunity to see them if you could get into that secret scrimmage this weekend.
Well, that's a good question. I would legitimately probably pay a few hundred dollars to get in there.
Yeah.
Now I would have to balance that with the cost of travel also to get there. But yeah, I would pay a few hundred dollars to satisfy my curiosity, kind of see where the team is at, and yeah, be able to look at that. So
I've said this before, maybe even with you when we had a recent discussion, but with that scrimmage coming up, it's not an exhibition level team, it's not a lower level college team, it's not a lower level Division I team or a mid-major that you pay to come in and hopefully beat up on in the early part of the season. It's Marquette. They've got some notable players. They are a good program, a good team, and should have a good season in college basketball this year. With all that said, I think the biggest thing, that if there is a way to get a box score, if there is a way to get any report on the game, the biggest thing I think that I've told myself that I would love to know about the game, and we'll find out soon enough in some of the other regular season games and the exhibition coming up, but it's how many minutes does Jerome Hunter log in this game? And I know it could be different. It could be some stoppage to work on certain things or different scenarios that you may not get a real minute count like you would in a normal exhibition or regular season game. But I would love to know, for however long the IU teams and the Marquette teams are on the floor, how many of those minutes is Jerome Hunter out there? That's a big question for me.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, we usually get a little bit of insight about those games, you know, the score and some of the things that happened. Like, we found out, you know, some things that happened in that, you know, the Loyola game from last year that Indiana apparently played really well in. So, yeah, I mean, I think that would be the number one thing for a lot of Indiana fans is, you know, how much does Jerome Hunter play and just, you know, everybody else? You know, is anybody injured? Is everybody available? You know, because we don't get a whole lot of insight there. And, you know, nor should we really. We don't need to know about every little nagging injury that guys have, that kind of thing. You know, but with three guys having to sit out at Hoosier Hysteria and just, you know, given the backdrop of what happened last season, I think everybody would be curious just to see who all is out there. And, you know, hopefully everybody is and everybody's available. You know, because I think if this team can stay healthy and they've got all their pieces, you know, there's a lot of potential there. But as we saw last year, you know, a few key injuries at the wrong time can really derail you.
Yeah, no question. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, our guest. In one of your most recent podcasts, which listeners can find if they don't already listen and know about it at assemblycall.com, you ask a question that I agree with, Justin Smith, or a question that I'm very interested in. Justin Smith for this Indiana team, which path will his junior season take on this Indiana team? He's a player that has shown flashes and at times maybe a full game or a week or a period of time where you think, my goodness, he's got the athleticism that it takes. He could be a special player at Indiana. And then maybe that'll simmer down or die off a little bit, or he'll have a game or two that don't stand out, or he won't score for a couple games. But very interesting player that could be pivotal, I think, as far as what type of success this team goes on to have.
You know, he really could be. And his, you know, the kind of questions about him entering this season, I find really compelling, you know, when I start thinking about him more, because as you said, I mean, he's shown the ability to be a really dynamic player. We saw it in the Michigan State games last year, you know, neither one of which Indiana wins without him really playing well. But, you know, he's had so many other moments that have been underwhelming. And I think that's why he's gotten a little bit lost in the shuffle this offseason, because everyone was talking about his breakout last offseason. And then, you know, it didn't quite happen as a sophomore. But what I think is really important to remember is that for a lot of guys, even, you know, kind of highly regarded recruits, it can take until their junior year to really see that. You know, I mentioned on the show, if you look at KenPom and you look at the player profiles, they do kind of a season comparison for every player. And the number three player comp for Justin Smith's freshman season was Victor Oladipo. The number one player comp for his sophomore season was Juwan Morgan. And what do both of those guys have in common? They had big breakouts as juniors. Now, I don't use that comparison to say that he will break out like either one of those guys, but I do think it's interesting context that when you look at just what he did as a freshman and sophomore, which I think, you know, some Indiana fans, rightfully so, are a little bit disappointed by, he was still tracking along the same lines as these guys who became really dynamic upperclassmen players. And we have, you know, in Indiana basketball history, you know, examples of guys like that. You know, Daryl Thomas is one that comes to mind, who struggled his first couple of years and really came on as a junior and a senior. So, you know, player comps like that can only go so far because each player is his own guy. But I think it is useful to remember with Justin Smith because we've seen it, you know, and we know that that talent is there. So if he can bring the right intensity, you know, settle into his role, you know, improve his shooting, do some of those things, the guy's got a chance still to be one of the better players in the Big Ten. Now, the question I have about him this season is what his role will be on this team offensively. I mean, I think defensively he can be, you know, a Swiss Army knife of sorts that can really guard, you know, probably three positions, you know, and I think will play well in his third year in the pack line defense. We've seen elite level defense from him at times, but where does he fit on offense? Because, you know, we know about the log jam down low. We know that Archie has talked about playing a couple of big men, you know, so you would assume that he would have to settle in as the three, but he's a guy who did not shoot well from the outside last year for, I think, a variety of reasons. But if that outside shooting doesn't improve and you have him playing the three, you know, now you only have a couple of shooters out there. And so it does become a challenge to start constructing lineups, you know, with him in there if he's playing the three, that are going to give you enough shooting. You know, and so I think he's probably going to have to, you know, go between the three and the four some. But then, you know, if you slide him down to the four, you know, now you're taking two of Deron Davis, Joey Bronk, and Trace Jackson Davis off the court. And that doesn't even, you know, mention a guy like Race Thompson. So I think The potential is there. I think he can absolutely be one of Indiana's best players. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see if he can add to his offensive game, because he's been good in transition, really good, you know, as an offensive rebounder at times, a good cutter. But I think the next step for him is, can he be better in spot-up situations? Can he be more of a creator with the ball in his hands? Because now he really gives Indiana something offensively, you know, and allows for some of the lineup versatility that we've talked about. But, you know, so I guess to answer the overall question, you know, I don't think any of us know what the path is going to be, but I think it's been easy to overlook that, you know, this offseason, the potential that he still has. And this is a guy who we should not be shocked if he blossoms into a 13, 14 point scorer, who is a potential All Big Ten player, because there are examples of it in the past. He has that kind of pedigree in terms of his talent. He's got that kind of athleticism. And I think we're all just waiting to see it. And it would obviously be very rewarding for us and very rewarding for him if he's able to do it. So that I think is really one of the most important storylines for Indiana as we head into the season.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest. Jared, I know you've got to leave us today, but real quick, parting shot or prediction maybe. Hassan Diarra in the 2020 class is going to announce his college decision later this afternoon. Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia, three of the schools that I think are at the top of his list. He had a visit, an official visit to Indiana a few weeks ago, and his last official visit was to Texas A&M. A lot of people are writing and predicting that he leans a bit to Texas A&M. This would be a big get for any of these schools at this point in the recruiting period for the class of 2020. Any thoughts on him or what you've read or what you've heard on where he could announce later this afternoon, and what type of chance do the Hoosiers have?
I don't really know what chance. I don't have a whole lot of insight to provide. I will say that if he wants to go to a place that really values basketball, where basketball is number one, he will choose Indiana out of those schools. My wife is a Texas A&M grad and a big sports fan, and she has no idea that this recruitment is taking place. So, you know, it's just the difference in the schools and where they focus. But he seems like a really interesting player. I think he's an Archie Miller type player, and I would love for Indiana to get him, you know, because I think you can never have too many really competent ball handlers who play really good on-ball defense like he does. But from people I trust and that I've seen, all the chatter suggests Texas A&M, so I'm just going to assume that and then hope to be pleasantly surprised.
All right, Jared Morris, the Assembly Call. Jared, thanks for the chat. We'll do it again next week. Always enjoy it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Matt.
High school football, last week of the regular season tonight, week 9 of high school football here in the state. We have Jeffersonville at Bedford North Lawrence as one of our feature games tonight. We also will have access to Cordon at Silver Creek, the Dragons trying to complete the regular season with just one loss before they head into the sectional. And we'll have updates from other games. Lee Kelly's at the New Albany game. We'll be calling around and getting some reports from games we don't have play-by-play from. I'll be in the studio anchoring all of our coverage tonight, constant scoreboard, so we hope you join us whether you're at a game tonight or you just want to check in and see how various schools in the area are doing. We'll have you covered from 6 o'clock till about 10:30, 11 o'clock here tonight on the Big X Sports Radio. The kickoff show, it begins at 6 p.m. tonight. We'll get you ready for the big games on both sides of the river. That show is live not only on the Big X, but also 93.9 The Ville for our Louisville audience. And we'll be talking with Jeffersonville coach Isaac Parker as his team looks to maybe finish the season with three consecutive victories as they head into a rematch against rival New Albany in the opening round of sectional play. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more. You're listening to a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Friday program, last night of high school football, regular season football, that is, in the 2019 season. And I had a chance to catch up with Isaac Parker, first-year coach at Jeffersonville. And this Jeff team, they've got some talent. They're still trying to put it all together. And tonight they'll take on a very good Bedford North Lawrence team at Blair Field in Jeffersonville. And I tell you what, this is an opportunity to build a little momentum heading into the postseason. The Red Devils will rematch with the Bulldogs 2 weeks from tonight because of it being a four-team sectional. They skipped the first week. It's essentially a bye week for everybody involved. But tonight's a big one for this Jeff team, and it's a Bedford team that may only have two wins, but a very solid football program. It's hard to believe that we are week nine, which is the final week of the regular season in high school football tonight. And, of course, coming up over the next few weeks, we have postseason football with the start of the sectionals the following Friday, 1 week from today. Joining us right now is Isaac Parker. He's the head coach of the Jeffersonville Red Devils, and he's in his first year. And Coach Parker has led the Devils to three wins so far this season. Two of those wins have come over the last 2 weeks, and tonight a very important home game, a Hoosier Hills Conference game, to close out the regular season against Bedford North Lawrence, who also could be a potential sectional opponent of the Red Devils in a few weeks if they were able to win their first round sectional game. Coach Parker, thanks for taking time out on this game day to join us. A little momentum over the last few weeks for this Jeffersonville program as you try to build it moving forward.
Yeah, we started playing pretty well over the last couple of weeks. Offensively, we made some strides. We came off that gauntlet of four away games, all tough opponents, and we were able to pick up a win on the last home game up in Madison, and turn around last week, and our offensive momentum continued. We seem to be playing a lot better offensively right now. Sean, our quarterback, Sean Wimberly, is really coming into his own here. His touch has improved greatly on his passing, I think if we can keep that momentum going, we should hopefully continue to have success.
Let's talk a little bit about your team heading into this game. Isaac Finley has been a familiar name and a popular name this week here on the Big X. He was our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sordano's Pizza Parlor that we announced on Monday. Been honoring him throughout the week. He had a big game last week in your victory against Jennings County, but I know he also, as a senior, has done a lot for your team throughout the year as well.
He's a leader. That kid's a leader. In the offseason, he stepped up as soon as he got hired. I'd known him over the past three seasons being an assistant coach, and it's this year was no different. He stepped up. He's a leader off the field. He's a leader on the field. He's extremely athletic. He's a track star as well. Yes, he has had a couple of really big games for us. If you look through the season, he's been probably our most consistent piece over the year the season on the offensive side of the ball. Last week, I think he tallied almost 170 yards. He had about an 80-yard kickoff return, had three touchdowns, and that's just 1 week for the kid. He's a game changer for us.
I want to talk about Bedford as well. Your opponent tonight, always a solid football program. They've only got a pair of wins on the season, but they really challenged Floyd Central last week, and that's actually who Bedford opens up with a few weeks from now in the opening round of the sectional, which we'll get to in just a bit as well. But before we talk about the game, I know you guys have been planning something very special before the game or as the game starts tonight with one of your managers, a special needs manager that is just awesome. And I've seen this done before, and it's going to be a video clip. It's going to be a highlight. It's going to be a memory that not only for the kid, for the manager, but for you and your program and the fans that are there tonight that is just special. So I'd like you to tell us a little bit about that.
Jeffersonville High School is a unified champion school, partners with the Special Olympics, and this just kind of builds off that. A young manager named Jeremy Shingleton, he came to our team at the beginning of the season. He has a sophomore brother, Greg Shingleton. They're both part of our team. Jeremy wanted to be a manager. He was born at 24 weeks. He was about a little over 3 months premature. The kid's a winner. The kid fought. I think his mom said he was born at a 1 pound, 3 ounces, 11 inches long. The expectations weren't high back then. This kid's a winner. So he joined our team at the beginning of the season as a manager, and he quickly obtained the name Coach Jeremy. He doesn't put up with anything. He'll tell the kids what they're doing wrong. And we love to have that. But about a couple of weeks ago, we watched him, and kid loves football. He's out there running around, trying to catch football, running routes, and we had this idea, the coaching staff had this idea of, hey, what if we let him get a score on senior night? He's a senior. Jeremy is a senior, Jeff, and it kind of went together from there. Spoke to Mr. Satterley. He supported that wholeheartedly, and spoke to Bedford's coach. And I'll tell you, they also are a unified champion school, and they believe in that and said, absolutely, we'll help you out. So it's going to be take place right before the game tonight. We're going to get him his first carry as a varsity football player, and hopefully he can get in that end zone.
That is great stuff. That will be a great way to start the game tonight for both teams. That's the kind of sportsmanship that you want to see, especially in today's age. Isaac Parker, the coach of Jeffersonville, my guest. Let's talk about Bedford. I mentioned that their win total, if you look at that, you may not be too impressed, but you and I know better as an assistant coach at Jeff. You had to battle some very, very good Bedford North Lawrence teams over the years. And so looking at scores just alone, last week they very much challenged Floyd Central, who's had a great year, 29-21, the final score there, and a loss for Bedford, but they were very competitive throughout the game. I know that you know enough, and you've, I'm sure, passed this along to the players, that a two-win Bedford team is still a very good football team coming into Jeff tonight.
You know, they've been in every game they've played. You know, and if you just look historically, you know, the past since at least I've been an assistant coach, I think that if I'm not mistaken, I think that the last time that we beat Bedford was 2016, and the reason we won that game was a missed field goal where they had a chance to win it as time expired. You know, they were all over us last year. I think they hung 20 fourth quarter points on us last year. You know, we know when we play Bedford, we're going to get a well-coached, disciplined football team. That triple option is tough to stop. You know, you have to play assignment defense, and kids have to play discipline tonight and make sure that they do their job.
Talking to Isaac Parker of Jeffersonville, Bedford has been a program I mentioned. I think they were, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the last program maybe to beat, or last team to maybe beat Columbus East in the Hoosier Hills Conference. Does that sound right to you?
Maybe. I believe that is correct.
So obviously a football program that is challenged and has been at the top of the conference. So a good way to end the regular season. I know you want to end it with a victory, obviously, and continue some late season momentum here. But nonetheless, it's going to get you ready for sectional, which is what I want to talk a little bit about with you. I know it's hard to look ahead, especially on game day, a few weeks down the road to the postseason. But the pairings are out, and everybody wanted to know. That was kind of one of the big keys locally in postseason football, how this sectional was going to shake out. Floyd Central, you could label, I think, as a favorite there, but Bedford is strong. Jeffersonville has won its last two games and is trying to really finish that off with another win tonight when you take on Bedford. New Albany, likewise, has had a couple wins here late in the year and will look to score a third consecutive win tonight to close the regular season as well. Who would draw each other? And it's rivals Jeff and New Albany that will get each other right out of the gate. And I think that is good because it will bring extra attention maybe to your first postseason game and bring a lot of excitement when any time those two rivals hook up in any sport. So I know you hate to do this, but maybe just talk a little bit generally about the whole sectional and how the draw came out for Jeffersonville and what you see there.
We were excited when they bumped us down to 5A. At a 6A, we were excited to have the opportunity to play conference opponents in sectional. We knew it would add a little bit more excitement, like you said, a little bit more energy. And especially when you throw New Albany in the mix, I mean, that's if I'm not mistaken, I think I was told it might be the oldest rivalry in the state. Anytime they play, no matter how good one team is or how bad one team is, it always ends up being a good, exciting ball game. I can tell you this year, you know, we've been following all the conference opponents and especially who we might see again in sectional. And New Albany has really found their footing offensively. They've started scoring a lot of points. That's definitely concerned us. I know they had a little bit of trouble when we played them the first time getting their offense going. But it seems that any kinks there, Coach Coley's been able to work out. And they seem to be playing really good football. So we know that, after this week, we have to erase what occurred in week three. And we have to really focus on playing our football and making sure that we work twice as hard as we did in week three to hopefully get that same outcome. We know they're not going to come over to Blair Field and roll over. They're going to be a good football team. They have played well especially in this last stretch. So we're definitely going to have our hands full, and hopefully we can turn three wins into four that week.
Isaac Parker, my guest, talking about Jeff's game tonight and a look ahead at the sectional as well. Coach, before we let you go, I've talked some, and I think it's very unique and also very cool, about your background as a detective with the Jeffersonville Police Department. Most people assume head coach of a football or basketball team, you know, probably a career teacher, and that's great, but that hasn't been your path, and I think that allows you to bring something very unique to the Jeffersonville program and a good feel for the community as a whole as well. One thing we haven't talked much about as far as your background goes as a first-year head coach is that you played college football, and you played it just across the river at the University of Louisville. Talk a little bit about your time there, what you played, the years you were involved, and maybe how playing at a program like that helped shape some of your football mentality and made you interested, more interested perhaps, in being a coach when your playing career was done.
You know, in all reality, I probably should have went to a smaller school. I would have had more playing time. The situation at my house at the time was my pops drove a semi-truck, was gone quite a bit, and my mom was home. I didn't want to leave her home alone, so I chose to stay local. And I reached out and actually spoke to Coach John L. Smith at the time, and he gave me the walk-on tryout dates. So I did do that. I did walk on. One thing I think a lot of people don't realize is how successful this area has been in football, especially in that late 90s period. Over there at the time, I was over there with Jason Hilliard. You know, he was a scholarship player, played in the NFL for a few years. We graduated together from Jeff High. Went to school together, actually, from kindergarten all the way through college. He's had a lot of success. He's over at Louisville Metro. He's also a coach. He's a Metro police officer. B.J. Steele from Charlestown was at Louisville at the time. Kyle Sammons from Floyd Central was at Louisville at the time. I think it was a lot of fun, I guess, to play against those guys and then to come up and you know, get to be on the same team, especially a program at that time that was developing. They had come off a couple rough years, and then when John L. took over, you know, they were eligible. I'm trying to think. I think he started in 98. Might have been 97, but I believe it was 98, and they went to a bowl game right before my freshman season over there. And you know, when I started 99, we had a bumpy schedule. Ended up being bowl eligible and went out to Boise. And then my second year, which turned out actually to be my final year, we ended up winning the conference and went down to the Liberty Bowl and played. Playing for John, that was a treat. That guy was he's a heck of a guy. The players loved him. Of course, he knows football, and that was when you really started to get to see how big time programs run. And you know, that has definitely affected me. It's affected our practice flow and how we practice, our off season schedule, and how we're going to lift weights this off season. It's definitely helped mold my love for the game. You know, I grew up being a Louisville fan, so getting to play there was a dream.
Pretty cool story. Isaac Parker, Jeffersonville coach with me. Bedford North Lawrence at Jeffersonville tonight. It's one of our feature games on the Big X Sports Radio if you're listening to Southern Indiana football tonight. Coach Parker, thanks for the game day chat. Best of luck to you and the Red Devils, and I know that we'll catch up again soon before the sectional begins.
Matt, I appreciate you, and enjoy tonight.
Coach Parker with us, and of course tonight we start our coverage at 6 p.m. here on the Big X. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and wrap things up for the week. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back to wrap up the program and the week. Hope you can join me tonight for high school football coverage at 6 o'clock. You know, we've talked a lot about Romeo Langford getting a little slow start for the Celtics with some injuries and some knick-knack things since he's been back from the major injury and recovery period to his hand and to his thumb. I just saw it announced that Zion Williamson, who had an injury last night, it's not severe to his right knee as well, but he is expected to miss a period of weeks to start the regular season. That is a little bit of a buzzkill, I think. One of the reasons to watch NBA, of course, for me, is to help fill the gap between now and the start of the college season, but also to see some of the rookies that you remember from college basketball. And I can't remember being more excited to hopefully get Romeo in for the Celtics and, of course, to see Zion play for New Orleans as well. But going to be a little delay on that as he is out as well with, again, not a severe injury, but something serious enough that he's going to miss a period of weeks. So he's a rookie year. His NBA campaign will get off to a little bit of a slow start as well, it looks like, with an injury that he, I think it was last night or a couple days ago in one of the preseason games. That will wrap things up for this Friday program. Don't forget, you can always catch us as a podcast. We're on SoundCloud. It's a free download. If you download the SoundCloud app, you can point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, and you can find us on Apple Podcast as well. So plenty of ways to keep up with our program, no matter if you listen live on the radio or as a podcast on SoundCloud or Apple Podcast. Have a great Friday, a great weekend. I'll be back with you Monday for the Hoosier Report, and of course back tonight from 6 o'clock on for 5 or so hours of local high school football coverage here on the Big X Sports Radio, beginning at 6 o'clock. Have a great weekend. I'll talk with you soon, one way or the other. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.